this is my last message before I start a new series. I'm embarking on something that I would not have thought a year ago that I would try to do from the pulpit. And I am currently going through the book of Revelation. Now, all the prophecies and stuff is going to be probably in the fall. All the good stuff that you're thinking we're going to get to. But until then, what you're going to find is the context and some letters to churches that amazingly applies to a lot of our churches today. And then we'll start to get into some stuff that you think, but it's going to be presented in a way with one thought in mind. And really, the whole thought of the book of Revelation, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And so if you disagree with me on the way I stand on certain aspects of his coming, well, that's just tough. You can be wrong if you want, or I could be wrong if I have to be. It's really, we won't know until it happens, will we? Not really. But as long as we understand and all in agreement about the revealing of Jesus Christ to this world at one time. And that's when he comes back to get us, when he comes back to plant his 2 feet back on this earth again to rule his reign. But until then, you got me this Sunday and then you got Brother Zach next Sunday. But tonight, this morning, I want to talk a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Do you know what's worse than not being able to sleep after you've done something wrong? You know what's worse than that? And that is being able to sleep after you've done something wrong. God gives every person a conscience. This is man's early warning system for when something is wrong in our life. Should I do it? Should I not? And it seems that we ask ourselves this question a lot in life, don't we? We get presented with challenges and opportunities and things and we say, should I do this? Is that the right thing to do or is it the wrong thing to do? When the warning sounds go off and we ask ourselves this question, should I do it or should I not? It's usually a good sign that we shouldn't do it. Now think about that. If your conscience is telling you not to do something, you know, saying this is that warning signal, that check engine light comes on, the one that we always ignore. We know what it is. It's always some small thing or some sensor. It's really nothing serious. At least that's what we tell ourselves. So when we make a poor choice in life, it's the conscience that always keeps us up late at night. Knowing that we've done something that isn't right. But sometimes, and so that's a pretty good warning system, isn't it? If your conscience tells you not to do something, well, you follow your conscience. As, what was his name? Let your conscience be your guide. Oh, Jiminy Cricket, yes. Let your conscience be your guide. No, you better not. Don't let your conscience be your guide unless your conscience is formed after God's, what God wants you to do. There are a lot of people in prison right now who are mass murderers who don't think they did anything wrong. You see, sometimes we can develop what Scripture calls a seared heart. A seared heart. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, a whole other sermon to itself. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's literally what that means, branded with a hot iron. Have y'all ever been branded? Okay, maybe not. But have you ever touched something, burned something, and you got a scar from it? Okay, well then you know what we're talking about here. Now, we could say that that is the marks of guilt burned upon the conscience. Eventually, these marks become scars, and they become hardened and unfeeling. If you have a scar, you've lost all your nerves to that portion of your body. And it's no longer connected, or you can no longer feel at that point. And if that happens to our conscience no longer functions the way that it should. So today we're going to talk about what causes this, and we're going to talk about the consequences of it, and of course we're going to talk about the cure. I want you to keep in mind something as we go through this. On a personal level, I would love for y'all to hear this and examine it and see. But we have a whole world that is full of people whose conscience has been branded with a hot iron and unfeeling. So what causes a seared conscience? One that you feel like that you just don't care anymore about the sins that you commit. Well, the first cause is ignoring your godly conscience. God sets you up to innately know right from wrong. He sets you up to know that this is good and this is bad. Now, kids know this, they just don't get it very often. They understand. So when you've been walking and you've been serving His will, we put into our minds things which are godly. So our conscience is programmed for godly things. We grow up understanding the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not worship any false other gods but me. Thou shalt not murder. There's a problem. When we see a society today that actually celebrates some of these things, there's no conscience anymore because they have not programmed their conscience and with godly things. So when we face the temptation to do evil, we have a decision to make. Do I do what is right? Or do I go ahead and succumb to the temptation? So when we are right with God, and when we put God's standards into our conscious programming, we should do what's right. Right? It should be simple. The problem is, He doesn't make us do what's right. It's just a warning system. Too many times we hear the buzzes and bells goes off for the smoke alarm or the engine light detector. Or many things in life where we see the warning signs and we simply ignore it because we don't want to have to deal with it. We want to do what we want to do, even though the warnings are there. But sometimes we fall. When that happens, we make a conscious decision to disobey God. We ignore the internal warning system that God has given us. At first, when we start to disobey and we fall to temptation, okay, our conscience rings all over the place. It bothers us. We can't get any sleep. We're irritable. And we are constantly aware that we've done wrong. The problem is that the more we ignore the warning system, the less effective it is. And eventually our conscience becomes immune. You no longer hear it. You no longer hear it. And eventually it becomes seared. It doesn't bother you anymore to sin. And then there are another cause is there's impurities in your heart. In Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. We have to put pure things into our minds and hearts. And when our conscience becomes polluted with the things of this world, no longer is our moral compass working correctly. We got to be careful about what we put into our heads, what our little eyes see, what our little hands touch. Especially in this world, because the world is now saying all the things that God has said are bad are now okay. And they're saying you shouldn't feel guilty about these things. Name a sin, and you'll find it being glorified today in this culture. Name something that God has said don't do and is being glorified in some way. And in some ways it's affecting us because we're saying, well, it must not be too bad. Everybody's telling me it's okay. You know, we are in effect programming our conscience to accept things which are contrary to God's moral laws. There's a computer saying, garbage in and garbage out. Now, we use computer models all the time for our projections. For those who believe in climate change, can I tell you about how they get all this information? People put in information and computers take the information that they put in and then develop a model. Can I tell you something? The models have been wrong for 20 years. They've been all wrong. You know why? It wasn't because the computer messed up. It was because the information that was put into the computers for them to, they considered as fact, were wrong. Florida should be underwater by now. California should be. What information you put in is what you have to go on. And what kind of information are we putting into our heads and our hearts and our minds? We program in our conscience. Set our standards for our conscience. Remember back in the days of VCRs? It took a genius to actually figure out how to program one of those. You take it in and you set the time just exactly right, push that in there, and you see that little red dot, and you say, okay, it's set. And so you come back, and it's already recorded, you put it in there, and you go to play your favorite show back, and you find out it programmed the wrong channel. And you said, stupid VCR. Right? Didn't you? Dumb thing. Well, yeah, it's just a machine. You're the one that programmed it. And there's a lot of folks today who have programmed their consciousness with the world, and when the world gets them in trouble, and they come to a point where they've fallen so far in sin, they blame everybody else. But the one who put that stuff, that junk in their heads to begin with. When we get to the point where our internal early warning system is set to different standards than God's, then we end up with a conscience that is flawed and undependable. when we continuously allow the wisdom of this world to taint our consciousness, our conscience, it'll become branded with the world's morality, seared with what the world thinks and not God's. Another cause for us to have a branded heart is indifference to God's word. We're to program our conscience with God's moral laws and not the world. It is the Bible, God's word, that contains instructions that is needed in order to program our conscience. It's God's word that tells us right from wrong. Now, I love Dan to death, but Dan, you can't tell me right from wrong. Only God can tell me right from wrong. And none of y'all can tell me right from wrong either. And I can't tell you right from wrong. God's word sets the parameters or the instructions for us to live a life with a clean and morally right conscience. The problem is that sometimes the instruction book of how to program our conscience is ignored. Now, men, I know that we're notorious for not going to the instruction manual first when we're going to put something together.
It's simple.
We can do this. And we do it, but about halfway through we end up looking at it anyway, don't we? We just don't. What happens is that when we usually end up making a mess of whatever we try to put together, we end up with a few extra bolts, or worse, a few less bolts than what we need. A seared conscience is the result of a continuous ignoring and indifference to the instruction book, God's holy word. If you want to know how to live a life that's clean and pure and holy, one that you don't have to worry about a conscience, program the conscience to God's word, and then act upon your conscience then. And you won't have to worry about sleepless nights. So what happens? What are the consequences of a seared conscience? Well, number one, facts will be twisted. Romans 9:1 says this: I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. You see, when you begin to input the bad stuff into your heart and your life, the truth is the first thing to go. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a problem. If I had a quarter for every time I heard someone say, I don't have a problem. They're lying to themselves. And that's the truth. That's the first thing to go. With a seared conscience, you'll no longer be able to tell the difference between God's truth and man's truths. And man, there's a lot of misinformation going on today concerning what is true and what is not. The philosophy is, it's true if you believe it's true. And anytime you hear somebody say, well, this is my truth, you can, right there, shut it down, because there is not, I don't have a truth, only God has truth. Let me tell you something. Oh, in trouble, is it? There are only two genders. That's the truth. Do I go on, or do they shut me down right now? I could go on, but you get the point. Because I didn't spend the rest of the sermon on those points. The truth is not the specialty of the world. In fact, they don't want you knowing. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and life. There's no one, there's no one that can come to the Father but by me, is what he said. Have you ever heard someone say, I would never do that? That's just so wrong. And then some years down the line, they're doing the very things that they detested. What happened? Well, what happened was that their truth changed. With a branded conscience, they changed God's truth and they made it okay in their eyes. They'll twist the Word of God callously to fit the truths that they want them to believe. Listen. I'm having some issues with some of our, quote, brothers and sisters out there in the faith. They're out there actually promoting killing babies in a womb. I can't do that. I don't understand. And they'll say, God says. No, God does not say that. Nowhere does he say that. Now, I don't know what your personal belief is, but let me tell you, God does not say that. That is not truth. And the list of things that the world says that are truth is just goes on and it's not there. They're making it okay in their eyes when using God's Word to even justify it. Therefore, they'll turn a truth into a lie, and they'll turn a lie into a truth. And if you don't know God's Word, and if you're not close to God, guess what? You'll fall for it. Don't. Know what's right and wrong. Don't have that conscience so seared and branded and so callous that you won't even be able to figure it out. The second thing is we're going to lose fellowship with God. With a calloused heart, we'll lose fellowship with God. We cannot have fellowship with God when our moral compass, our conscience, is seared. Branded and callous consciences do not allow for the Spirit of God to help in times of temptation. Because the seared conscience is not programmed within the laws, within God's laws, but man's. Therefore, you know who lives in our heart as Christians, right? The Spirit of God lives within our heart and dwells. And our heart gets calloused and seared. We do not allow God's Spirit to actually talk to us and help us when we have these issues and problems in life to make these decisions. Therefore, God and man are at odds with one another. Man is hardened to God's rules, and God cannot fellowship with man if man isn't seeing things God's way. You know, I'm picky about who I spend time with. Now, I'm not saying be mean or anything like that, but I'm talking about who I hang out with, who I enjoy the company. I couldn't spend time with an abortion doctor. That couldn't be my best friend. There's a lot of folks that their whole moral attitude, their whole morals are so different than mine that I can't hang out with them all the time. Now, am I being judgmental? No, I'm just saying my value system's different than theirs. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that come across as nice, but they're just thieves. They'll steal you blind. And you say, well, no good person will do that. Yeah, you're right. No good person will. But they don't care because their hearts have been hardened. They don't think anything about it. It's just business. It's just business. I couldn't condone those things they do because God's moral law says that these things are sin. We would get to a conflict over these things. And when our conscience is seared, we will see things from the world's perspective and not God's. God cannot have fellowship with us while we're having fellowship with the world. And this is a conflict. And the third consequence of a seared conscience is found in 1 Timothy 1:19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. This literally means that by casting away your good conscience you're going to make shipwreck of your faith. A good example is of the sinking of the Titanic. Everybody who's watched the movie knows exactly how that turned out. because they lost their bearings, they hit an iceberg. And it was a seemingly small hole to start with, but as the water rushed in, it literally opened the floodgates. It sunk to the bottom of the ocean where it still lies today. But guess what? It is no longer, it's still a ship. It's still the Titanic. But it is no longer useful to anyone. It can no longer serve the purpose for which it was created. And it is the same for our faith today. All it takes is to set our moral compass incorrectly, run into icebergs of this life, which open up holes of impurities to rush in, and if the hole's not plugged, then a ship of faith begins to take on water, and we will eventually sink to where our faith is no longer useful to God, and we don't serve Him for what He created us for. We're of no purpose. A seared heart will make shipwreck of our faith because it will not allow us to know that we're even sunk. You ever seen someone whose faith has just sunk so low and they don't even realize it? I talk to people all the time, guys. And they're out in the world, they're doing some horrendous things in their life. They're just tearing their lives apart. But me and God got an understanding. I might have heard that from your partner, Dorothy, at one point in time years ago. I'm not saying I did. But I heard it over and over. But I got this relationship with God, and we got this understanding. No, you got an understanding of God, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. You see, even as the Titanic was going down, there were still people who believed this boat would never be sunk until it was too late. So what's the cure? What's the cure for a seared conscience? Is there any hope for someone whose conscience is seared? The answer is yes. That's the good news this morning. Yes. But the first thing you've got to do is you've got to hear God's word. Open that calloused conscience to what God says is right or wrong. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what the world says. It only matters what God says. The Bible lays out in God's instructions on what is right and wrong. And it's in the Bible which we must study. You've got to know this book inside and out, guys. It's not just something you take to church every Sunday. It's something that you got to read every day. You say, well, I already read the whole thing. Well, now read again. God speaks to me through His Word over passages that I've studied, preached 10, 15 times. And He talks to me. He understands. He leads me to better understanding. Hear the Word of God speak to you from this book. Reprogram that scarred conscience with the purity of the Scriptures. And He'll say, it doesn't matter how you feel, it's wrong. We have a world today that is full of people who is all about feeling. Well, this is not the way I feel. No. What's the truth? Come to know the truth through the Word of God. After you hear the Word, and there's people who hear God speak, okay? They read the Word, and they hear what it says, but then you've got to heed the Word. It's not enough just to hear the Word. You've got to heed it. You've got to obey it. And once you begin to rediscover the things which God says are true and pure and right, then you have to act upon it. When we're tempted, we must follow the example of Christ. He was tempted by Satan himself. He not only knew the scriptures, Satan, but he used it against Satan. Christ knew the scriptures, and he used it against Satan. He was tempted by Satan himself. He used his own holy standard to say, this is not right. What you're saying is not right. When someone offers you to rule the whole world, that's a temptation. And that's exactly what Satan did. God used scripture and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Instant obedience to the word of God is required to cure the wounds of a branded and seared conscience. And then you got to heal the wounds. There's no miraculous thing that God, no program for God to just, you've been the prodigal son, you've been in the gutter, and you went through all kinds of stuff, you made all kinds of poor decisions in life. Your heart has been calloused over and over again, and you heard God's word speak to your heart, and he shatters that hardened heart and begins to speak to you, and you begin to obey. There's a heart that's broken. A heart that needs healing. In John 8, 1-11, we find a group of Jews who had seared consciences. And they're bringing a woman to Jesus who's accused of adultery. There's no doubt about her guilt. It says she was caught in the very act. They tell Jesus that the law of Moses says that she must be stoned. And ask the master, what would he have done to her? And of course, we know what he's done. He ignores them. He's down there taking a little stick. He's drawing stuff in there in the ground. I still wish I knew what he was writing. I've heard all kinds of stuff. But he's sitting there. He's bent down writing in the dirt with a stick or a finger or something. And they persist. And then the master looks up to each of them in the crowd and answers, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. The master had spoken. The Jews heard what he had said. And they were forced to consider their own hardened conscience. And the scripture says the following in 1 John 8. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, probably for the first time in a long time, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. What did he say? Woman, go and sin no more. A conscience that is branded, seared, scar can be healed. And we must listen to the Master when he speaks to us through his word and in our hearts. We must examine the standards that we set by the righteous moral standards that God set down for us. Are the standards of my conscience the same as the standards God has for us? If they're not, change your standards. Change to fit God's will. Not your own personal conscience, but God's conscience. It's the only conscience that you'll be able to truly, truly rely on. Today, if you realize that your moral conscience is off, that you've ignored the warnings of your conscience for so long that you no longer realize what you're doing is wrong, or maybe that your faith has become shipwrecked, let Jesus into your heart, and he can mend that branded conscience, if you let him. Say, Randy, I'm a good person.
than you may be.
I know some fantastically good moral people who follow, have the conscience of the Bible, and they follow it. But Jesus doesn't live within them. They don't have what we have as Christians. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, wanting to bear us, wanting to have us bear fruits of the Spirit to a lost and dying world. They would love to have that. Even if you're a good person, a moral person, you're still lacking that. This morning, if you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, you can try to be good all you want to. You can try to have the cleanest conscience as you possibly can and live a life that's so upright. You can do that. But you can never do it enough to gain God's salvation. Because you slipped once. At least once. You've messed up in your life. That's called sin. And only Jesus Christ can offer the pardon for sin. You need Him living within your heart and your mind. And right now, that same conscience, who we might call conviction, is dealing with your heart. Can you hear the gospel so many times that you've lost the ability to hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Yes. That's your warning system. The warning that if you don't accept Christ, you're going to hell. And too many times, people who have over and over rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, they stop hearing the Holy Spirit talking to their heart. Is there a cure for that? Absolutely. Listen to the words of the Master. Accept His forgiveness and begin to hear Him speak to your heart and your life. Come to Him today when He calls. Let Him break that hardened heart. Let Him heal that heart that's been scarred and broken. You can do that today. As we stand and we prepare for the invitation, I can't look into your heart today. I don't know, you know, if it's, your conscience is perfectly clear, clean. Or maybe we've been enjoying our sin so long that we all of a sudden think, well, this is all right, but we've got a little deal with God here, and He's going to excuse this. And so you no longer feel guilty. Can I tell you something? We're all guilty. Every single one of us. But we've been justified by Jesus Christ, and we know Him as Savior. Which makes this even a better celebration of Jesus, though. Knowing what we do, sin, and He will to forgive. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you're hearing that little voice in your head saying, come forward, come to know Him as Savior. Just to say yes. You say, I got plenty of time, do you? Do you? I don't know. But don't ignore God's voice and God's word. What He wants you to do today. Whether it's for salvation or whether it's for sin in your life that you've been putting aside, saying it's okay. Whatever it is this morning,